think negatively about it. Madame, but mother is intoxication. Na vimunchati durme dha, and a person does not give this up, no matter what happens. That person is having determination in the mode of ignorance. So sometimes some people say, no, say somebody wants to wake up in the morning, and then they just don't wake up, just keep sleeping. And then they tell, why don't you wake up in the morning? Say, no, I don't have any determination, so I can't wake up. Actually, somebody is very lazy and they just don't do work, keep shirking work, keep postponing work. Tell you, why don't you know? I don't have any determination. Actually, no one can say that I don't have any determination. Because even a lazy person has the determination to stay lazy. Actually, what do we mean by determination? Determination simply means that holding on to something even when it is difficult to hold on to, isn't it? So when we are lazy, quite often we are criticized by others, we are mocked by others, we also feel bad about it, but still we hold on to that laziness. So that is actually determination. But normally we use the word determination to refer to something positive, something good. And when we hold on to something bad, that is not called determination, that is called stubbornness or obstinacy. So the example of this is the father-son pair, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. So holding on to the kingdom, Krishna himself came as Shantidut, so many others he just told him. Cue the Pandavas back there, holding on to it. So everybody has the capacity to hold on to things. The only thing is, we are all differing in what we hold on to. So sometimes we hold on to something which is good for us, and sometimes we hold on to things which are not good for us. So that choosing is what we need to do wisely. So this point is actually very encouraging. That means nobody can say, I don't have determination. I have determination, now I just need to redirect it from this to that. Instead of holding on to laziness, let me try to hold on to timeliness. And that way, we can change ourselves gradually. So, if you look at sports, there are broadly two kinds of sports. There is individual sports and there is team sports. So, for example, the tennis or chess, these are individual sports. So, one player plays against another player. And in this, the result depends only on two things. One is, how well this player is performing and how well the opponent is performing. So if a particular player performs better than the opposing player, then that player will win. And in contrast, there may be a very good player, but if that player doesn't perform well on a particular day, that player has an off day, then that player will fail. Even if, say, in tennis, sometimes there are upsets. There's a world number one player and somebody is unseeded, even unranked, almost outside the top 100 or top 200 or whatever. And in one particular day, that player plays very well and this number one player just loses. So here what happens, when it's a game which involves solo playing, then everything depends on one player's performance alone. Cricket or hockey or football or baseball, all these are team sports. Now in team sports, two things happen. That actually, once a single person's good performance alone may not be able to lead to victory. A batsman may bat superlatively well, but the batsman will himself take the team to victory. But if there's no one to support, if all the other batsmen keep getting out, this batsman will stay not out till the end, but the team will not be able to score sufficiently. So in a team sports, actually, one person alone cannot lead to victory. So many times. And conversely, in team sports, even if one person has a bad day, others can make up. So every team has a star batsman, maybe a star bowler. And even the best batsman sometimes have an off day. So when they are not able to perform, other team members can step forward. And then the team may still be able to do well even when the star player does not perform. So that means in team play, actually, there is more of a scope for making up for one person's poor performance, but there is also a scope of one person not outshining others, or not person single-handedly leading to victory. So when, say, India won the World Cup in 2011, at that time, as the Indian captain had glory, at that time, Sachin Tendulkar, he was soon going to retire, so he had the glory. But then, it was not one person's glory. It was the whole team's glory. Say, in tennis, somebody becomes a Wimbledon champion. It is that one person who is the champion. So now, is life like a solo sport or is it like a team sport? What do you think? It is a solo sport that we have to play with different teams. Life, we are part, like you have this IPL where you know play. And then, one particular event, say the player may be belonging to, say, Mumbai Indians. And then afterwards, the player may be purchased by RCB or some other team like that. So then they belong to another team. But they cannot play alone. But the team changes. So like that, when we are going through life, actually, every soul is alone in this journey. So, we come in this world alone, we will live alone. Our karmic destiny is something which we will have to endure ourselves. So, at one level, this, because we determine, it is sobering, at the same time it is also empowering. Sobering because you understand, just because I am with others, that doesn't necessarily mean there is security. But at the same time, that means, if I am doing my so it's a solo in the sense that when it comes to our mind, others can help us, but I have to deal with my mind. So, for example, if we consider a person who is having some negative habit, now when that temptation comes, at that time, but they have to deal with it alone themselves. Others may be there, others may don't do it. But sometimes that if that desire catches the person, they just neglect the other person, go and do whatever they're doing. So we have to, especially when we're battling with our mind, we can take the help of others. But that help also requires some level of control over the mind. See, broadly speaking, if normally we look at everyone through our mind, that means our mind filters our perception of everyone. Now, if somebody suddenly comes and starts smiling and talking very sweetly, then immediately the mind starts thinking, what does he want?
Probably they want something from me, that's why they're talking so nicely.
So we always filter whatever people are speaking through our mind. Now, a strong relationship, when we have, we say we should have good association, we should have strong relationships. Strong relationship means that there are at least some people, or at least one person in our life, at whom we do not look through our mind, rather we look at our mind through them. That means, as soon as somebody criticizes us, you know, immediately our mind starts criticizing them back. You know, maybe he's envious of me. Maybe you know she just does it, burns at me, whatever. We just filter what people are saying through our mind. But if there is some person whom we can trust, and this person is my relation. So rather than evaluating what they are saying through our mind, we evaluate our mind through them. So, if we have that, we are extremely fortunate. We're extremely fortunate if we have a person like that in our life. If now it is difficult, and even if we get one person like that, it's fortunate. And even if we don't have a person whom we can directly evaluate, through whom we can evaluate our mind, at least, you know, we can try to create this distance. There's an instinctive reaction that comes. You know, why is this person concerned? Maybe they're envious. Maybe they just don't understand. But it, yeah, it's possible they couldn't understand. They may not be understanding. But it's also possible that I am not understanding. So what we do is, if somebody tells us something, we have to deal with our mind alone. But when the mind is tricking us, quite often it is difficult for us to understand it. Others may be able to see it better. So if somebody tells us something, rather than immediately reacting to it, slow down. Slow down. And then wait. Think about it. So, I'm a writer. And although I've been writing for many years, when I am writing something, I write an article or write a book, it is like my baby. So, you know, if some neighbor comes and tells her mother, your baby is not well-dressed. What do you mean not well-dressed? You know? The mother thinks it's a personal insult. No, I'm well-dressed. But then, the mother will say, no, you know, this kind of shirt doesn't match with this kind of trousers. No, and the mother will take it personally. But after, yeah, you know, what she's saying makes sense. And maybe we'll put some other dress over it, whatever. So, what happens is, initially when I write something, no, I myself cannot spot it. So if I have some devotees, whom I ask them, please go through it and tell me what you think about this. And then they give some feedback. So at that time, if we take the feedback personally, that means we say that, oh, this person is criticizing me. Then that feedback will spoil our relationship. But if we see that whatever I am doing, my actions and me are different. So, they are responding to a particular action. Okay, I wrote an article. That article is mine, but it's different for me. So, they are not criticizing me. They are critiquing that article. And that way, we can bring a distance. Because whenever we feel somebody is criticizing me, then immediately we go on the defensive. And when the ego goes on the defensive, nothing can penetrate through it. Even a nuclear bomb cannot destroy the ego on the defensive. Nothing can destroy. So, if while taking feedback, we go on the defensive, then nobody can help us. So, we are solo players in the game of life, but we perform best when we work in a team. And working in a team means that our ego should not be on the defensive. That we are ready to take feedback from others. So, say in cricket, a bowler may be bowling in a particular way. And then, another baller may say, no, you can bowl like this. Okay, no, I know how to bowl. It's possible that this baller knows how to bowl, but it's also possible that somebody else knows how to bowl it. So, rather than taking any suggestion or any feedback personally, it is better to take it objectively. That means, they are not criticizing me, they are not correcting me. They are just responding to this particular action of mine. So, differentiating between our actions and ourselves helps us to improve our actions. Identifying with our actions makes us want to defend them. And when we defend them, we cannot correct them. Because our energy is dissipated in defending. And I started this talk by talking about determination in the mode of ignorance. Where we hold on to something which is undesirable. So that is actually, when we are working in life, we work in different teams. And within the, while working in teams also, some players are very much team players. Even in team sports, some players are just like individual star performers. Now, they will perform very well, but you know, they just can't work too well in the team. But see, if somebody is playing cricket, then what happens is, it's from both ways. In England, there was a very famous, very good batsman. He just couldn't play in the team. Play as a team. So finally, the captain, the coach, they all said, we don't want him. Although he was the best batsman in England at that time, they said, we just don't want him in our team. And he was dropped. He was young, he was playing well, but he didn't have the team spirit. So now at that time, there were a lot of reviews. You know, who's to be blamed? Was he such a bad player, but he had so much talent? Was it his problem, or was it the captain's problem? Now, there are basically, normally speaking, there are geniuses. There are very good players. They, you know, they live in their own world. They just can't perform so well. They can't gel with the team. because they are living at a different level. So if you consider human psychology, there are people who are introverts and there are people who are extroverts. So extrovert people, now they love to meet other people. And they gain strength by meeting others. They gain strength by working with others. Now if they go to a party, go to a program, the more people they meet, the more people they talk, you know, their smile becomes bigger and bigger. Feel happy, oh, there's such a big community. But on the other hand, there are introverts. You know, for them, going to a get-together is like hell. Oh, they go to 1 person, 2 person, 3 person. Hey, it's not that they hate people, but it's just that their social stamina is limited. So after they meet a certain number of people, they can't think. They stop. You know, they suddenly become snappy, irritable. It's closed down. So what happens is, in such a situation, if a person is more of a solo player than a team player, but they're in a team sports, then it is both for that player and the team managers, the captain, the coach, both of them to manage it properly. The player has to know that, okay, I'm a team player. I'm in a team sports. So I'll have to work with the team. And that person should be ready to go a little bit against one's nature. At the same time, the coach should also know this person needs a little more space. And I can tell everyone, do this, but while telling this person, I'll have to be a little more careful. So that way, you know, we all have different natures. And to work with those natures, we may all need to accommodate. So some people may think, you know, let me tell you, I want my private time. So for some people, private time means, you know, their time with their family. But for some people, private time means I don't want my family also. Other family members say, hey, private time is we should be together. So no, private time is I want to be alone. So now what happens in such a situation? Both have to adjust. So if somebody is more of an introvert, then other family members also have to understand. You know, this person may need some time. But then, the introvert should also understand that, okay, I'm in a relationship, I have a family, so I cannot expect to be alone all the time. So the person who has a solo nature, they have to accommodate. And the person who is a part of the team, they also have to accommodate. So here again, like yesterday I talked about, we are all on different pitches. So people have different natures. And we have to accommodate that. So if we find that we gain strength by being alone, now, usually it is said we should always be in the association of devotees. Yes, that is true. But association is not just physical proximity. You know, association is primarily emotional alignment. State of association means transfer of desires. So, sometimes we may hear a class, we feel inspired. Oh yeah, this is what I want to do. But sometimes some people just need some time to process things. Okay, I heard this. This makes sense. How I can apply it? So some people can think on their feet. They think on their feet means they can just as here and they can think. Okay, I can apply this. Some people they have to think on their backs. They have to sit down and they have to think calmly and then process and decide. So when different people are different, we don't have to apply one standard on everyone. So for example, it is said that the shoe that fits one leg bites another. The shoe that fits one leg bites another. Because the shoes are of different sizes. So like that, something may work very nicely for me. Another person is different. Why are you like this? It works so well. And you are different. I am different. So we all have different natures. And it's like, you know, suppose I have some deficiency in my eyes. And say Prabhu also needs spectacles. So now I have a particular number. When I put these spectacles, I can see very nicely. And suppose somebody has lost the specs. I say, take the specs. No, I can't see anything. I can see properly. Why can't you see? You say, no, but I can't see. You know, you're not sincere. You should be able to see. It is not like that. You know. Their eye number is different. So they need a different specs. The purpose is the same. You want to see. But my specs will not fit for them. So similarly, that actually what adjustments we need, what facilities we need, what circumstances we need for functioning nicely, others may need something different. So when we try to impose what we are doing on others, then that creates unnecessary friction.
So we are in a team and both need to adjust. But the adjustment begins by from both sides. It's not that we expect one person to adjust infinitely. The other person also has to adjust.
And going forward, further about this point of we are the solo. Life is, we are on a solo match, but we are playing in teams. We are solo players, but we are playing in teams. So in a team, we all have different players have different roles. Say in cricket, somebody is an opening batsman. Somebody in the middle order batsman. The opening batsman, depending on, you know, if it's a one-day match, come out and start attacking right away. It's a test match, and basically navigate through the individual phase. Just don't lose wickets. Just the initial the bowlers may be very aggressive. Just endure that. Then the middle order batsman. So then there are all-rounders. Then there are tail-enders. So now different players, well, in the batting lineup have different roles. So some players, some batsmen, you know, they may be finishing batsmen, especially finishing specialists. You know, just come and hit a lot of runs, and then they are able to finish the match. So there are different players who have different roles, and the expertise of the manager, of the coach, or the captain is to find out where which player can fit the best. And a batsman doesn't have to compare with a bowler. If a batsman starts thinking that actually, you know, if a bowler starts thinking, say, you know, this batsman scored a century, people praise him so much, you know, next time I'll also score a century. Unless the desire is good. But for a bowler, maybe the 9-10 level that bowler comes for batting. For that, when is he going to get an opportunity to score a century? So if the bowler starts comparing with the batsman, it's just not going to work. One devotee told me that Sachin Tendulkar, initially, he was thinking of becoming a bowler. And then he came to a coaching academy, and that bowler told him that he wanted to be a fast bowler. And he came, you know, to try something else. So he was very discouraged. He was batting also, but he wanted to be more like all-rounder. He said, you know, you just don't have the frame to be a fast bowler. So he said, you have talent in batting, just focus on batting. And then he later on said that was the best advice I got at that time. Because some people can be all-rounders, but some people may be specialists in one field. So some people may just be batsmen. You know, once in a while they can bowl. And they bowl, they make news, not because they take wickets, but because they bowl so rarely. So the 10-11 number batsmen, they can also bat occasionally. But that is not what they need to focus on. So all of us have our strengths. And all of us have our limitations. In life, we need to focus on our strengths. And we have to manage our limitations. So if we focus on our limitations, then we'll always feel inferior. Somebody who can be a good batsman is always thinking, oh, I can't be a good bowler, I can't be a good bowler, I can't be a good bowler. That will prevent them from doing what they can do well. So it's important that we find out primarily what our strengths are and we focus on those strengths. So all of us may have different interests, different abilities, and unfortunately society glamorizes certain things. Say for example, society, maybe certain careers are glamorized. Somebody becomes an engineer, somebody becomes a doctor. And that's when they're very successful. Yes, and somebody becomes a lawyer, somebody becomes a CA, that's like a second level. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, I want to become a painter, I want to become a writer, I want to become an artist. What are you doing? That is very much disapproved in society. So now, actually speaking, parents have a natural concern. Okay, how will you earn a living? If you take up a career which is not very lucrative, where things are not so certain, how will you be able to survive? You need to live respectably. Parents' concern is genuine. At the same time, you know, there is earning a living and there is making life worth living. The two are different things. You know, we may earn a living, but if we are doing something which we are just not suited to, we may always feel unfulfilled. people talk about, I don't have job satisfaction. So why does that happen? Because they're earning a living, but the job is just not compatible for them. So now, the Bhagavad Gita talks about our swabhava, our innate nature. And the whole principle of varnashram, it is not so much dividing people into different castes. It is basically engaging people according to their talents, according to their interests. So, when a player starts playing cricket, it is not that they have to think, I have to become like this batsman, I have to become that bowler. It's good to have an inspiration like that, but I have to see what is my interest, what is my talent. And even a bowler needs to know a little batting. Even a batsman, they need to know a little bowling. But our focus should never be on our limitations. We have to be aware of our limitations and we need to know how to manage them. But our focus needs to be on our strengths. By focusing on our strengths, we can contribute effectively. By worrying too much of our limitations, we discourage ourselves. So especially when we are in a society which glamorizes certain talents, which glamorizes certain abilities. So for example, today's educational system, the ability to memorize, that comes at a premium. Somebody who can memorize, they can do very well in their studies. And they can actually achieve a lot. So if that's the way education is, then we have to also learn to memorize. We may learn some skills, some mnemonic tricks, some tips for improving our memory. But then, we needn't feel inferior. Oh, you know, this person got such a great memory, I have a poor memory. Okay, I'll have to manage that limitation. At the same time, let me try to look at what my strengths are. And so, I'll conclude with this point. How do we actually learn what our strengths are? So, there are two broad points I'll talk. First is that, actually, while going through life, we can observe things which we are comfortable doing and things which we are competent doing. So Krishna talks about guna karma vibhagashah. This varnashram is according to guna and karma. So guna refers to what we are internally comfortable and karma refers to what we are externally competent. So some people, you know, first time they pick up kartal, yes, I'm playing it wonderfully. How is that? They didn't have to do any tal, they started playing it. No, that they have musical talent. Maybe coming from their genes or from their past life, whatever. So, what we are competent doing and what we are comfortable doing. If we find these two things, that is a fair indicator that is where our talent lies. And secondly, so whenever we are doing, we see in life, we don't always have choices. Say for example, if in a team, there might be a player who wants to be an opener, but the only slot is in the middle order. The player may have to start the international career in the middle order. And they play as well as they can. But while playing, the player observes, when I'm as an opener, I can perform better. And then if the opener gets injured, the opportunity comes, the player may volunteer, let me go and do that. So Sachin Tendulkar was a middle order batsman, he's playing one day cricket. But then once he begged to the coach, I want to open. He says, no, you are a very good middle order batsman. You are like the we are like the foundation of our middle order. We don't want to shoot. No, sir, you give me one chance. So I want to open. So he opened and that time he scored a century. And after that, he was always an opener. Still an opener. So what happened is, so he fit into the team wherever it worked. But he, based on his own experience, his own feeling, he felt, this is where I can fit in. So in life, we don't always have freedom. So we have to learn to fit in whatever situation we are in. But at the same time, we keep looking for opportunities to come to a position where we are comfortable and competent. So even if we are having a particular job, we are having a particular role, within that also, if we like something, so somebody might be a teacher. Now, somebody might be a teacher or professor. Within that also, they may find, my interest is more in research. Then they may do more paper writing, more paper presentation. That also contributes to the academies, to the institution's prestige. Somebody may also, they have more of a knack for management. So within academics, they may become head of department, they may become principal, or they may take managerial role. Somewhere, I just love to be with students. I like to teach. So they may just focus on teaching. So it's not that a teacher has to change their career entirely. It's just that within whatever we are, we can try to gravitate towards that role which we are more comfortable at. So that way, so we are all in a team. And within the team, we may be given a particular role at a particular time. And we have to accept that. This is my role. But while playing along that role, we also stay open to opportunities for playing the role that we would like to play. And that way, we can gradually move towards what we are competent at, what we are comfortable at. And sometimes, some others may also be able to. So the first point is, we try to observe ourselves and understand what is the comfortable and competent. The other point is that sometimes others may observe. Hey, you know, you can do this well. And you know, I don't think I can do that. No, you try it out. So what happens? If you consider like a window, our personality can have four windows, you know. There are some talents which are known to us and known to others. Some talents are known to us but not known to others. Some talents are known to others but not known to us. And some talents are neither known to us nor known to others. So some talents are known to us and known to others. That's where we probably perform. But then we feel, no, I can do this. Others say, no, not right now. Then we try to, as I talk about that, second quadrant. Then, you know, whenever we get opportunity, we go there and try to do that. And then we might be able to do that more. But there's a third quadrant also, where something is known to others but not known to us. And so if we have good friends, somebody who knows us well over a period of time, they can observe. Hey, you know, you can do this well. I never thought about this. Yeah, I can do that. So that way, if we keep observing ourselves, and then we can learn. So, you know, when I joined as a brahmachari, most of the brahmacharis would become preachers. And I was also thought that I'll become a preacher. But one day, a temple president, Radhishyam Prabhu, gave me something to proofread. And I started proofreading that. And I said, hey, you've done such a good job. You know, you can do this service more. And then once they gave me some assignment to write something for a newspaper, I wrote that. And he was, yeah, you can write this very well also. So it was just by, he said, you can write very well. You know, in future, you can take up the service of writing. And so it was just, I knew at the back of mind that I was good at English. But I never thought that I could take up writing as a service. Because that was not what everyone was doing. Most people were just traveling, was speaking. I thought that's what my role is going to be. But then I found that the writing is what is my home territory. So, it was somebody else who helped me discover that talent. So, there may be some things which are in that quadrant where something is known to us, not known to us, but known to others. So, if we have well-wishing friends, well-wishing guides, if they tell us, you know, you should do this. Say, no, I can't do it. No, you should do this. Sometimes some devotees are very shy to preach. See, others may say, you know, you should preach. You should give classes. You should have your own group. He says, no. Now, if senior devotees are seeing something within us, they're telling us to do this, we should do it. Why? Because they may be seeing something which we may not be able to see. So we just start doing it. If you're comfortable, we can continue it. If you're not very comfortable, we can tell you're not doing it. But by being open to other suggestions, especially constructive suggestions of what we can try, we will be able to discover the talent that we don't have. So then the disadvantage of being in a team is that sometimes you may have to do the things which you don't like to do. But the advantage of being in a team is sometimes by being pushed to do something, we may discover, yeah, I'm good at this also. And that way we may discover a side of ourselves which we would otherwise not have discovered. So the process of bhakti is definitely a team sport. We are all individuals, but we are all together in this. And especially some days, like a batsman may not bat well, but other team players cover up for it. So like that, we are in a team. Some days we may be a little down, but other devotees encourage us, come on, you know, just comes, goes, just keep moving onwards. So in the association of devotees, sometimes we may slip, sometimes we may fall, but we can all rise and we can move onwards in our spiritual life. And knowing that this association actually helps us. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compares association with a walking stick. Now I use crutches. Five, 10 years ago, I used to use a walking stick. So initially when I heard this example, a walking stick is nothing very glorious. Now, how can you compare association with a walking stick? So one time I was coming from Mumbai to Pune to Mumbai to give a class, and I had kept my walking stick under my, in a train I was coming, I had kept it under a train, and somebody stole the walking stick. So then, Then I had to walk without the walking stick. And then at that time it struck me. Hey, at that time I was much healthier. So I could walk. I can walk without a walking stick also. But it's slower and it's riskier. I'd walk slowly and then any moment there's a fear that I may fall. So like that, we can also practice bhakti without association. But it's slower and it's riskier. Everything that we have to do, is a slow down. We want to chant. In association, we chant very enthusiastically. And when we are alone, we look at this, look at that, do this, do that. Even if it takes the same amount of time, it seems to be taking so much longer time. And not only slower, it's riskier. You may think, if you are with some devotees, maybe some phone comes along. Just put it aside and we will do our work. I'll just look at it, attend in a moment or two, and then we'll go back. But if you're all alone, you think, let me look at this. You start looking, and then one, maybe look at this, look at that, look at that. And then 20 minutes are gone. What is this? So it's riskier. So if we can practice bhakti in association, it is much, much easier to practice bhakti. We'll practice it more easily and we'll progress more swiftly. So I'll summarize. So continue the theme about what cricket can teach us about life. Let's focus more on team sports and individual sports. I started with determination in the mode of ignorance. That means if we hold, all of us have determination. It's just that we may not be holding on to the right thing. So holding on to the wrong thing is also determination, but because it's negative, it's called obstinacy. Like the Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana were attached to the kingdom. So in solo sports, in individual sports, success, the glory goes to the player and the infamy also goes to the player. The player alone is responsible. Whereas in a team sports, there is a player's shortcomings can also be cowherd. And the player may excel and still the result may not come out so well. So life is like a solo sport played in teams. So our own performance does matter, but it may not matter immediately. In a particular team, it will not matter so much, but our performance is like our karma count, and that's what is going to matter eventually. But we have to work in teams, and by working in teams, I discussed about how the advantage is, even if we don't do well sometimes, still others can cover up for us. And the disadvantage is, sometimes we may do very well, but still we will not get the result if others are not working so well. So we have to accept that. Now, that I alone don't determine everything. That brings some humility. When we are working in a team also, there are some players who are more individual geniuses. And there are others who are team players. So if somebody is more of an individual player in a team sports, the adjustment has to come from both sides. The player also needs to know, I'm in team sports, so I have to accommodate him. And the coach also, this person needs a little more room. So like that, we are practicing bhakti, which is primarily a social activity, communal activity. It's a community driven activity. But some of us may be introverts, some of us may be extroverts. So if we are introverts, we gain strength when we are alone. So then, others who are around us should also recognize that this person needs a little more privacy than what I need. And on the other hand, you should also recognize that I cannot just expect to be alone all the time. I should also stretch myself a little bit. So both parties can be, by being understanding, can cooperate. And then in a team sport, I discussed about how a batsman doesn't have to compare with a bowler. So batsman has to excel primarily as a batsman. So we have to focus on our strengths and we manage our limitations. So, in a team, specialize in. So, Varanashram basically was to give us engagements according to our talents, according to our abilities. And in that connection, how do we discover our abilities? First is by looking at what we are comfortable and competent to do. And by observing ourselves while doing various things, we can figure out this is what I can do. So, we may naturally get that role. But if we don't get that role, then we have to fit in whatever role we are given. But while doing whatever role we are given, we can be looking for opportunities to do something which we feel we are good at. And that way, we can gravitate towards that. And also, some of us may have some talents which we may not be aware of. So, then sometimes the coach spots a particular talent in the players. So like that, if others tell us repeatedly, you should do this, then we may feel shy, we may feel reluctant, but it may be that we have that talent. Just try it out. Put aside our prejudice, try it out. And then we may find that a whole new side of me is discovered by that. And as I concluded about bhakti, is a team sport. And that means that we can practice spiritual life alone, but when we are practicing it alone, it is slower and it is riskier, like walking without a walking stick. But when we walk together, when we, as a team, we can move forward joyfully and attain Krishna. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Bhaktananda ki
jai.
Dai Gaur Premanande.